Yeah, this whole transgender sports thing, to me, is just a little bizarre. You know, I think a lot of people have trouble with this issue in general. My only problem with this issue is that we level the playing field, and that boys should not be competing against girls. People that have an advantage because of their transgender status should not have an advantage on the playing field or on the court or in the pool. They simply should not have that. And the problem is that this is going to continue to fester as long as the NCAA leaves this hanging out. I mean, we've got issues like the Olympics. And the Olympics begin, what, February 3rd, I think, something like that. Simply put, we cannot leave this hanging. NCAA needs to deal with this. The Olympics needs to deal with this. You know, for instance, could somebody come into the WNBA? Could somebody say, I'm a guy, but I'm going to go transgender, and I'll try and compete in the WNBA? Is that possible? I haven't, and to be honest, I have not looked at the WNBA and any of their bylaws or anything relating to this. But that would be another area where somebody could come in and change everything. Change the league records. You know, I mean, this one swimmer, Leah, is winning some events by 38 seconds. 38 seconds. Stay where you are. More to do as we continue. Coming up, Chuck Booth, the president of Citizen Outreach. We'll talk all things politics. It's all coming up on AM 670 KMZQ, where news is next.
It comes from Washington, darkness spreading across America, devouring all in its path. Radical socialists are hell-bent on destroying everything we've worked for. Our communities, our values, the foundations of our entire country. But John Lee switched parties to stop them, joining the fight for conservative values just like Ronald Reagan and Donald J. Trump before him.
I will wipe out socialism in this state. We will not let that come. It will not be even considered in Nevada as long as I'm governor.
As a principled conservative, John Lee is a proud pro-life champion.
That little life is more valuable than anything.
As NRA Legislator of the Year, John Lee courageously defends our gun rights.
I will do everything in my power to see that we stay a pro-gun state.
And as governor, John Lee will stop the left's tyranny at our borders and keep Nevada's future bright. John Lee for governor. Paid for by the committee to elect John Lee.
Broadcasting live from the world-famous Las Vegas Strip, AM 670 KMZQ Las Vegas. Locally owned and operated by Kemp Broadcasting and Digital Outdoor.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Keith Peters. Democrats are vowing to push through a Supreme Court nominee now that Justice Stephen Breyer, one of the liberal members of the court, is retiring. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki says President Biden has talked about how he would handle a Supreme Court pick.
The president has stated and reiterated his commitment to nominating a black woman to the Supreme Court and certainly stands by that.
Heritage Foundation senior legal fellow Tom Jipping tells the Salem Radio Network he's not surprised by the decision.
Most people have been speculating that Justice Breyer would be retiring soon. Justices, like all federal judges, serve for life, so you know they can keep it as close to the vest as they want.
The U.S. has made no concessions to the main Russian demands over Ukraine and NATO in a long-awaited written response delivered to Russia on Wednesday. Secretary of State Antony Blinken says Russia has been told there are no concessions to its demand that Ukraine not be allowed to join NATO.
From our perspective, I can't be more clear. NATO's door is open, remains open, and that is our commitment.
The Justice Department says a Texas man has been charged with a federal gun crime. after authorities say he sold a gun to a man who held four hostages inside a Texas synagogue earlier this month. The Justice Department said Wednesday that Henry Michael Williams was charged with being a felon in possession of a firearm after he sold the weapon that Malik Faisal Akram used when he entered Congregation Beth Israel in Colleyville, Texas on January 15th. Akram was fatally shot by the FBI. On Wall Street, the Dow down by 129 points, the NASDAQ rose 2, the S&P declined 6, oil up to $87.35 a barrel. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
The credit card debt happened when my daughter was born. I was using one credit card account to roll over into another credit card account, and it was snowballing.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976.
When I first called Trinity, the representative understood the need based on the situation. They're great people to work with. From the first phone call that I made, they had me on a track to mitigate the credit card debt.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
Working with Trinity gave me the ability to save thousands of dollars. My name's Doug, and thanks to Trinity, I'm debt-free for keeps.
Call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976. That's 1-800-990-6976.
Alex and Orlando De Castro Verde are third-generation lawyers and lifelong Nevadans. They built De Castro Verde Law Group personal injury on their family principles. When you've been injured, they'll fight the insurance companies, seek maximum compensation, and stand by you the entire way, just like family. De Castro Verde Law Group personal injury. Our family will fight for yours. Online at dlgteam.com or call 702-222-9999.
Come see why thousands have made the switch to Findlay Chevrolet. 215 at South Rainbow. Find new roads.
F-I-N-D-L-A-Y. Findlay Chevy is a place to buy. Home of the...
Talking about the news of the day need not be toxic or boring. Hey, it's Rob Carson. Join me weeknights from 6 to 8 for a unique and fun look at politics and pop culture. It's the Rob Carson Show on AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
It's 204, and this is your KMZQ Newsflash, powered by De Castro Verde Law Group. If you've been injured, their family will fight for yours. I'm Jim Dallas. Nevada's $401 million rainy day fund was nearly drained to zero 2 years ago as the COVID pandemic consumed most of the state's finances, but it has been restored about 85% of its pre-pandemic levels as the economic conditions have rebounded. And of course, we all know a solid fund balance as a measure of solvency and fiscal responsibility helps the state maintain good credit and reduce its borrowing costs. So good news there. Las Vegas's hot housing market doesn't show any signs of cooling down either. Southern Nevada home prices were up nearly 26% in November compared to the same time in 2020. Nationally, home prices were up about 19%. All 20 metro areas measured in the most recent Case-Shiller Home Price Index has double-digit price increases. Phoenix led the way with its home prices up more than 32%. Here in Las Vegas, the median sales price for a previously owned single-family home was a record $425,000 in December. That is up 23%. From just a year earlier.
KMCQ on-time traffic is powered by Meineke Car Care Centers.
Come in now and get up to $50 off brake pads or shoes and a lifetime warranty.
Yeah, crews are cleaning up that incident on Interstate 15 northbound. It's past Hacienda there on the right shoulder. Also, remember the overnight road work and the closure of the ramp. That's on Interstate 15 northbound at Tropical Parkway. That will close at 7 p.m.
Gather round. I want you to know that the movement we started is only just beginning. There's never been anything like it. The belief that a nation must serve its citizens will not dwindle, but instead only grow stronger by the day. As long as the American people hold in their hearts deep and devoted love of country, then there is nothing that this nation cannot achieve. Check it out! I go from this majestic place with a loyal and joyful heart, an optimistic spirit, and a supreme confidence that for our country and for our children, the best is yet to come.
It ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
It is one of the great things about Wednesday. On this program, we get a chance to visit with Chuck Muth, the president of Citizen Outreach. He is a political consultant. He teaches boot camps for candidates and political consultants and folks that want to be activists and they want to play a role in our political future. Chuck Muth joins us on the line. He is the president of Citizen Outreach. Chuck, how you been?
I am fantastic, Kevin. I forgot my cell phone on my way to a meeting, and I lost your number. I'm glad I was able to track it down and get it from Jim.
Oh, my God. Sorry about that. Let me ask you, the news of the day, Justice Stephen Breyer announcing that he will retire. He'll make the formal announcement tomorrow, probably at the White House. First of all, what do we know about how this will change the U.S. Supreme Court?
Well, here's the interesting thing. Apparently, the White House was caught unawares, so they didn't even bother to tell Biden that this was coming. They got caught a little bit flat-footed, but it's clearly an indication that the Democrats know their time in control, as tenuous as it is right now, of the U.S. Senate, it's on life support. I mean, they pretty well, it appears, have come to the conclusion they're going to lose the Senate, and unless they want to risk another Ruth Bader Ginsburg, where a Republican would be president to be able to replace Breyer, that he needs to go now so that the Democrats can, in their minds, hopefully, put a nominee forward and get him confirmed before the November election, before the Democrats lose control of the Senate. So I think that's what the big take out of this announcement today is.
Now tell me this. I keep seeing the cable news channels are just going nuts over this thing. And I'm like, wait a minute. It's still going to be a 6-3 operation. Explain to me what is going to be so different, regardless of who the nominee is.
It won't be. They'll replace. I mean, Stephen Breyer is a hardcore liberal on the bench, always has been. And, Biden will try to replace him with another hardcore liberal on the bench. The interesting dynamic here, though, is that the Senate is tied 50-50, and the Democrats need all 50 of their senators in order to confirm a Supreme Court nominee. Now, if Joe Biden goes too far to the left with a radical appointment, then they're going to have to fight Kristen Sinema and Joe Manchin, two Democrat U.S. senators. If either one of them says, sorry, bub, but we're not going to vote to confirm this nominee, they don't have the votes to confirm a nominee. So Biden is going to have to find someone that both Manchin and Sinema can get behind in order to be able to get anybody confirmed. But still, it's going to end up being another 6-3. It's going to be a liberal nominee. Just how liberal or how radical they'll be is the only real question.
Will it the fact that we do have that 50-50 split in the Senate, will that mean that we will end up with a less contentious type of nominee, that somebody that might appeal to a Manchin, that might appeal to a Kyrsten Sinema, a little more moderate than way off to the left progressive?
Yeah, I think that you're probably right, Kevin. I don't think they're going to be able to go too extreme with the nominee because of Sinema and Manchin. So I would guess that any vetting of candidates is going to be first vetted through those two senators to see if they have any objection before they put the nominee forward publicly, because they don't want to have the embarrassment of having Sinema and Manchin do to them again what they did over his whole Build Back Better program that they wouldn't sign on for.
Well, all three of the Trump nominees were contentious. It was mean. It was nasty. It was vicious. Will Republicans take a kinder, gentler approach, you think, or will this be World War III all over again?
Republicans generally tend to be more genteel when it comes to court nominations like this. I mean, if there are legitimate objections, they will raise it. But I don't think you'll see Republicans do to the Democrat nominee what the Democrats did to, especially, for instance, Brett Kavanaugh, with all digging up his college yearbook and sexual assault allegations that were never confirmed. I don't think you'll see Republicans do that. Republicans tend to base their opposition and objections to a nominee's philosophy, judicial philosophy, and they'll bring it up. But if they don't have the votes, it'll be a done deal.
Again, Chuck Booth joining us, the president of Citizen Outreach. I'm curious what you think the pressure will be on Joe Biden to come up with, well, first of all, a black woman. And does that bother you that this is going to be kind of an affirmative action hire?
Well, you were reading my mind. I had forgotten to throw that in there, and I'm glad you brought it back up, because Biden is on record as saying that his Supreme Court nominee will be a black woman. And that was fine during the campaign when he was running for president. The problem for him now is he's already played that card, the race and gender card, with Kamala Harris, and that has been an absolute disaster. It's going to be a little bit more. He's going to have to find someone with really impeccable credentials if he's going to stick to it. Has to be a black woman. He's going to have to find someone with really, really impeccable judicial credentials in order to be able to get over that hump, because a lot of people are going to say, wait a minute, you're picking this person based on their attributes, their race and their gender, not on their judicial philosophy. It's already been a disaster with your vice presidential nominee. You need to step back and pick a better nominee. That is a danger for him if he picks someone who's not qualified.
Want to talk about the Senate, because they're going to be making the call on this Supreme Court nominee, but I want to talk about the Senate a year from now and what this is going to mean. We've got Adam Laxalt and Captain Sam Brown going toe-to-toe. How do you see this thing shaping up?
I can right now, in this political environment, either Adam Laxalt or Sam Brown could beat Senator Catherine Cortez Masto in a general election if things hold up the way they are, and there's no indication that things are going to get markedly better before November. So I think either one of those candidates could win. So the real fight for Republicans is going to be in the primary. I know the Laxalt campaign thought that this was going to be an anointment, that they were, this was theirs for the taking, assuming that he was going to be able to dramatically out-fundraise any other candidate who might decide to put their name on the ballot. Unfortunately for their campaign, Captain Sam Brown has matched Adam almost dollar for dollar the last two quarters. I'm not sure. I don't think I haven't seen the final campaign report, so I don't know how much each has cash on hand. But they both have the fundraising ability, and whichever one wins the June primary, they will have all the money that they need to compete in the general election. It doesn't matter which one it is. So the real question for Republicans in Nevada is going to be, which candidate do Republican voters in the primary believe would have the better chance at beating Catherine Cortez Masto in a general election? They're both very, both of them are conservative. They both got conservative bona fides, both military veterans. I think Sam Brown's got a little bit more compelling story, being a wounded warrior. But both of them can beat Catherine Cortez Masto. Both will have the money that they need. So now it's going to be, who do the Republican voters in Nevada want to be their nominee?
Should the party get involved in this at all? I mean, this is what I've been saying from the beginning. I wish the state party had gotten involved on the governor's side, where we've got nine people vying for one spot. And I keep thinking to myself, wouldn't it be great if these people were running for state assembly or for state senate or secretary of state or some other office where there isn't a glut? But in this particular case, should the party step in and anoint a nominee?
Well, I wouldn't say anoint, but I do agree that the party should be involved and they should do endorsements. Let's stick with the Adam Laxalt, Sam Brown campaign for a second in that regard. In order to do this properly, not in a smoke-filled back room, which is what they tried once before, The entire membership of the Central Committee should vote on whether or not to give a particular candidate in a given race the party's official endorsement. But in order to get that, they should be required to get a supermajority vote of the Central Committee members. So at the very least, 60%, you know, anywhere from 60 to 66% of the vote. And that way, you know, it's pretty clear that the membership has decided that one candidate is far superior over the other. I don't know that either Adam Laxalt or Sam Brown could get to a supermajority vote of the Central Committee. Looking at other races, and perhaps the governor's race is one of them, one of the candidates might be able to get a supermajority vote and therefore get the endorsement. They're going to discuss that this weekend. The Nevada Republican Party has their winter meeting this weekend here in Las Vegas. I don't know what the details are. I've not been briefed on what the plan is for endorsements, but it can go one of two ways. To your point, Kevin, they would have to endorse candidates prior to filing being opened in March, which is a little bit problematic because strategically there are some candidates who don't want to announce their campaign for whatever reason strategically until the very last minute. They'll wait till 5 minutes before the close of filing before they'll file just so that nobody knows, you know, kind of like a Pearl Harbor sneak attack in a way. So to screen candidates out prior to the primary is going to be a lot more difficult, but there's no reason why after the March filing is over, the middle of March, they should have a Central Committee meeting strictly for the purpose of endorsing candidates in the primary sometime in at least mid-April. Maybe you can go into May, but probably sometime in April because mail-in ballots are going to start going out the first week in May, probably. So they're going to need to do, if they're going to do endorsements, they're going to need to do it probably in late April at the latest.
Now, are there candidates we don't know about right now that are waiting in the weeds, so to speak, to announce?
There may well be. I'm not privy to any that are playing that game. However, I can tell you that our friend Annie Black did exactly that 2 years ago. She waited until 5 minutes before five on the last day of filing and kept it. You know, she and I and one other person were the only three that knew that this was what she was going to do. She didn't want to take the chance of tipping off the opponent and give him the opportunity to go out and raise money, saying, "Hey, I got a primary. I need you to raise money," or recruit a third candidate into the race so it wouldn't be a head-to-head. So strategically, that's exactly what Annie Black did 2 years ago, and there may be other candidates planning on doing the exact same thing this time around.
And Annie Black, this time, is going to be in a race.
She is. She decided to run for the 4th Congressional District, which is currently occupied by Democrat incumbent Stephen Horsford. There are at least two and maybe three announced candidates in that race already, but none of them have electoral experience. I don't think any of them really have the name ID. They haven't been battle tested in office the way Annie has. I would think that provided that she can raise the money, and I have every reason to believe that she can, she will be the odds on favorite to win the Republican primary for that 4th congressional district.
So the overview, and I've only got 2 minutes, the overview, the chance of a red wave election is very much there, is it not?
Absolutely, no question about it.
And what is it that could screw it up for us? And I go back to what happened last night. I don't know whether you saw it on CNN, but the battle for control of the Clark County Republican Party was on with Jim Acosta. Dave Sajak was on, and it was a very one-sided report. But I'm curious: is there anything that we could do to screw this up?
I was listening to you on the radio driving over here to my meeting, and I heard that. That guy is an idiot. But look, the Republican Party really can't help these candidates anywhere near as much as the public thinks that they can or should. What they can do is to screw things up. And never underestimate the ability of Republicans to screw up an opportunity. I always say they never blow an opportunity to blow an opportunity. So, yeah, that's always possible, but I wouldn't I wouldn't worry so much about the party itself screwing up races so much as individual candidates. And the other thing that Republicans don't get complacent right now, just because things look like, yeah, there's a red wave coming and, you know, we got the Democrats on the ropes. We've got a long way to go, and the Democrats aren't going to sit back and just let it happen. They're going to fight back. They're going to make some changes, and they're going to be competitive in November, one way or the other. So don't take it for granted. We haven't won anything yet. What's the old saying? Don't count your chickens before they're hatched.
Isn't that the truth? Chuck, always good to visit with you. If folks want to reach out to you, if they want to know when your next boot camp's going to be, where can they go?
Yeah, for that, if they go to campaigndoctor.com and sign up for my campaign hot tips newsletter, that'll be filling them in on everything that's come up with the training and, you know, and some things about the mechanics and the nuts and bolts of grassroots campaigning.
Chuck, always good to visit with you. Thank you so much, man. You have a good rest of your week, and we'll talk with you again next week.
You got it, Kevin. Take care.
There you go. Chuck Muth, the president of Citizen Outreach. His Muth's Truths, absolutely unbelievable. I mean, I learn something every week in Muth's Truths, something that I didn't know about a candidate or about an issue. It's incredible. Stay where you are. More to do as we continue. Coming up later, Matt Whitaker, the former acting U.S. Attorney General, he's endorsing Adam Laxalt. We'll find out why. We'll do that and more coming up on AM 670 KMZQ.
Talking about the news of the day need not be toxic or boring. Hey, it's Rob Carson. Join me weeknights from 6 to 8 for a unique and fun look at politics and pop culture. It's the Rob Carson Show on AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
Hey, Kevin Wall here. A few years ago, a friend invited me for an evening of fun at Ichabod's Lounge. Now, Ichabod's isn't in my neighborhood, and yeah, I had to drive an extra 10 minutes. Boy, am I glad I did. What I didn't know at the time was that Ichabod's had been there for over three decades and family-owned for over 20 years. It's one of the top gaming bars in Las Vegas with the best promotions and amazing monthly cash giveaways and payouts. And I love their food. Ichabod's features incredible menu items, including seafood, steaks, burgers, pastas, and five daily specials. And their kitchen is open 24 hours a day for you late-night foodies. What do I like best about Ichabod's? Their old-school Vegas atmosphere. Their bartenders and servers are super friendly. When everyone else is cutting back, Ichabod's continues to super serve its customers. And you'll love their nightly entertainment at the piano bar. You want to win? Then I'll see you at Ichabod's Vintage Vegas Dining, Gaming Lounge, and Piano Bar on East Flamingo at Pecos. I was watching a Golden Knights game at one of my favorite sports bars this past week. That is so much fun. Hey, Kevin Wall here. I got to admit, during the game, I thought more than once about my friend Steve Romeo at Quality Hearing Aids. I always knew I had hearing loss, but I put it off. It wasn't until several friends urged me to get checked for hearing loss that I finally gave in. So I asked Steve to test my hearing, and he confirmed what I had suspected. Not only did I have a hearing loss, but there were words I could hear but not understand. Steve fitted me with new state-of-the-art hearing aids, and the difference has been incredible. Now, I can even hear conversations from folks two, three booths away. It's like night and day. If hearing loss is causing you to miss out on conversations, even if you were tested 3 or 4 years ago, call my friend Steve Romeo at Quality Hearing Aids, 702-369-1321. That's 702-369-1321, or check them out at QHALV.com. That's QHALV.com, and tell them Kevin Wall sent you.
I'm Fred Simon, MD. By now it is obvious, COVID is not going to be permitted to go away. The vaccine is now largely ineffective because the virus has mutated. So big pharma and big government are going to require that we be subjected to an endless series of COVID injections. And through the collusion of big tech censorship, these lawless people are hiding the vaccine death and damage statistics. Our healthcare system is literally imploding. Nurses, doctors, and long-term workers are forced to leave their jobs rather than take a dangerous experimental cocktail. I'm Dr. Fred Simon, and I am the only person in this Nevada governor's race that has the background in medicine and business to strategically free us from the orchestrated COVID nightmare. I want what you want, family safe, and an open road for doctors in our state to treat patients. Join me, Fred Simon, and learn more anytime at simonforgovnv.com.
Paid for by Simon for Nevada.
If you live long enough, you've experienced the same thing. A certified letter arrives from the IRS. Hey, Kevin Wall here. Many of us have experienced that sense of dread, that knot in the pit of your stomach that comes with a letter saying you owe thousands of dollars to the IRS. You're embarrassed to tell your friends, ashamed to tell your spouse. You think of losing your house, losing your business? It doesn't have to be that way. That's where my friends at New Hope Tax Defense come in. Their team of dedicated tax professionals will not only guide you through the process, they'll stay with you for the duration. The pros at New Hope Tax Defense will develop your own personal strategic plan. They'll present all your options, and then the choice of how to move forward will be yours. Call New Hope Tax Defense, 702-483-0220. That's 702-483-0220.